The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
It'll be a Sunday night, and you don't know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, and twitch.tv/WTRLive. I'm the producer, Sorokin, joined, as always, by Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm alive! Yay!
Woo!
I survived an MMA fighter.
Wow. Congrats.
We did it.
Yay. We would then say, hey, there's an intern, but he's doing things.
He's busy being a contributing member of society?
Yeah. We'll go with that.
But emphasis on the question mark.
He's contributing. You know, he's doing things to help people, I guess. But we have the one and only Tim Stein. He unmuted, muted.
Do you?
Hey.
Do you have me?
Are you here?
I'm not here. This is Memorex.
Memorex, okay. Cool.
Good callback.
Hi, everybody. How are you? Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. This is Wrestle Talk Radio. We talk wrestling.
I mean, yeah. That's kind of what
we
do.
Yeah, but before we get into it tonight, guys, Rock, Keishi, have you seen Top Gun Maverick yet?
Negative.
No.
Do you?
Not for lack of wanting to. I just have not found the time / desire, like, whatchamacallit. My only free time is usually, like, during the week, and I don't like going to see movies during the week.
And you won't go by yourself.
I don't. I've done it once a long time ago, and it was weird.
Gotcha. Rock, do you have any intentions of seeing it at all?
No.
You saw the first movie.
Maybe?
You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Okay, Keishi, you remember the first movie?
Oh, yes.
Did you like it?
Oh, yes.
Why?
I don't know. Because fighter jets, I guess?
Because fighter jets and Tom Cruise, right?
I mean, sure. Tom Cruise, maybe not as much as the fighter jets, but I mean,
but
when you, I don't know, favorite movie ever? No. Worst movie ever? No. Movie that I would watch every time it came on TBS, the Superstation, I wasn't doing anything else? Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. No, I have to admit that I was curious and, you know, there's a bit of a reason. Top Gun, the first movie, fighter jets and Tom Cruise. And that's why it was successful. Top Gun, the second movie, Top Gun Maverick. It's just ending up on my TV screen here. This will be the second run through for me. This is fighter jets, Tom Cruise, and a story. Unlike the first movie, I was not a huge fan of the first movie. I'll watch it, but if I've got other things to do, I'll do the other things instead of watching it. Not really all that great, objectively speaking. The second movie, though, wow, damn good. Okay, see it as soon as you can.
Yeah, I've heard good things, so I do plan on watching it. It's just a matter of when.
Of getting to it, yeah, but it's really good. But I'll tell you, the callbacks in the second movie to the first movie are almost overdone, but there's just enough without going overboard. And if you watch the original Top Gun, and then you watch this one, you say, "Oh, hey, that's like in the first movie." Oh, hey, that was like in the first movie, and the second movie starts out exactly the same as the first movie, without giving away any spoilers. You got that little music in the background with the little, you know, with the little bong in the movie, yeah, or in the music.
Yep, the top.
And then all of a sudden, you're on the aircraft carrier, and you got jets taking off and landing, and you got the ground crew on the carrier doing all the stuff. I swear to God, it's the exact same shot, like footage, like identical.
I'm sure they planned it that way.
Like the first 2.5 minutes. And if I didn't know any better, I'd say that they just lifted the opening from the first movie. And it just gets you right back into it. And like I say, like, okay, well, it's on my on-demand. And, well, let me see if I – yeah, we'll check it out, because I've got – my dishes are done, and I don't have to do anything else. So what the hell? And I wound up missing my bedtime. I had to work the next morning, but it kept me interested. And I just like sitting back and went, no way, through certain parts of the movie. And when you finally watch it, Casey, remember me telling you that certain parts of the movie, I said, no way. And it'll hit you. You'll get what I'm talking about. So if you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick, I'm going to recommend, yes, watch it. It's a really nice, it's enjoyable, very entertaining. You'll like it. And Val Kilmer is even in the sequel.
Okay.
That's all I've got to talk about that's not wrestling. So we can talk wrestling. Rock, I do believe that you put together a little bit of a run sheet for us, you know, like wrestling has run sheets. Somebody want to talk about NXT UK, Casey?
We'll get there. We'll get there, Tim. We're going to start, though, with the favorite thing in wrestling. What was your favorite thing this week in wrestling, Casey?
My favorite thing in wrestling this week was being able to wrestle this week. That's what I will say. My return from injury was my personal highlight.
Judges?
No, that doesn't count.
Oh, it's got to be on TV?
Yeah, favorite thing you've seen in wrestling. Scene. We'll go with scene. Favorite thing you've seen in wrestling.
Favorite thing I saw this week in TV and wrestling. Well, I guess, no, that wasn't technically on TV, so I guess I can't talk about the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens thing after SmackDown.
I will give you that, because that was scene.
Okay, that was probably a combination of, like, the pop that Sammy got in front of his hometown crowd, in combination with the exchange between him and Kevin Owens post show.
I missed that.
It's really good stuff.
Yeah, it was after the show. Kevin Owens came out. They did a little spiel, and then Riddle came out and basically was like, "Come on, guys, you should hug." And then they hugged in front of the Montreal crowd and sent them home happy. It's all over the internet.
So what about you, Tim? What was your favorite thing you've seen this week?
Well, I have to caveat this, because actually my favorite thing was the Montreal crowd itself. That bunch of people in that country of Quebec. That's a Canadian, inside Canadian joke. Hey, Cash?
Yes.
Yep. Anyway, the fans in Quebec were hot, just absolutely on fire, and you could tell that they had been starving for a live show for 3 fucking years. And they did not, like, the crowd just did not disappoint. They were just on
on top of absolutely everything. And of course, like making Sami Zayn the involuntary babyface of the entire night just took the cake. That was just like the icing on top of the cake. But as far as actual the actual shit that, you know, took place where the ring is concerned, I have to say my favorite thing was Drew coming out to confront Roman, because that made me want to see the match now.
Okay.
At Clash.
Okay.
It was really well done. And of course, Roman coming out, "Montreal, acknowledge me," and just going on. And the reception he got from the crowd, again, the crowd was so hot, it was ridiculous. And then Drew's music kicked in, and out comes McIntyre. And it was almost like the crowd splitting in half, because everybody's acknowledging Roman Reigns, and then everybody's just cheering on for Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, the crowd made SmackDown feel more special than normal.
Okay.
And it's been a long time that we actually got something like that, really.
Okay.
On TV.
So I have a question for you, Tim.
Uh-oh.
What got you this week in wrestling? What got you?
I got a feeling you're trying to lead me somewhere that I may have said something to you and forgot about.
So Monday night on Raw, Dexter Lumis showed up. Did it get you, Tim?
Oh. Did it get me?
Yeah.
It did?
You thought it was real.
Dude, it's been a long fucking week.
No.
I mean, it still is to him, damn it.
Yeah. So, remember when the mysterious guy jumped the rail?
Oh, yeah. Okay, the fan, you know, the air quotes, the fan.
Yeah.
That
got you.
It got me, yeah. I thought that was a fan actually jumping out of the crowd. Well, his head was covered. I didn't, you know, he was like wearing like a hoodie that was like cinched super tight around his face, and I didn't notice immediately it was Lumis.
You got, basically.
I did.
But that's not a bad thing.
That's a good thing.
It means they were doing their job correctly.
Yeah.
So that's a very good thing. Just wanted to make that known. Anyway, it was brought up by Casey in our group chat earlier in the weekend that NXT UK is gone, and NXT Europe is coming next year. Reaction to it being shut down, Casey?
I mean, I guess if you kind of look at what's been going on over the last couple of years and things, you can't be 100% surprised, especially due to the fact that it is being transitioned over to NXT Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I guess if you go from like an argumentative standpoint of like having wrestlers there that are also not from the UK and from other portions of the United Kingdom and Europe and stuff like that, it is better as an all-encompassing brand.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's kind of good. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of rehash it. Will they do more traveling than just staying in one spot or sticking to the United Kingdom? That'll be interesting to see. It would be nice if they do some traveling, you know, get the product exposed to more of an audience out there on more of a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know you and Lindsay touched on it earlier this week, but it was nice that, you know, like a lot of the talent got released, which sucks. But on the other side of the coin, they probably did that so they can go, you know, work while they kind of develop this NXT Europe brand and see what happens. And hopefully most of them get brought back and utilized. But I mean, it's nice that they're not just making them sit on their hands and do nothing. They can kind of go out and get some reps in and maybe make a little bit of money while they're waiting.
Yeah, and because they're going to probably be sitting for, what, 6 to 8 months? One would assume. So you got to let them work. And the way things have been going lately over in the UK, anyhow, they have only been taping, what, once a month, maybe, at the most?
Yeah.
So some of the boys and girls aren't really working to begin with. So giving them a chance to, hey, get out there and work, that's not the worst thing. And there are people coming back over here to the States from the UK, so they'll be able to at least stay under contract and work. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a bad thing that it's transitioning.
I don't think so. Like, at least they're not just going, you know, NXT UK is done. We're not doing anything else with it. Sorry about your luck. It sounds like they have plans to kind of keep it going
the way they want to, but kind of just doing a little bit of a reset to hopefully transition it to match kind of what they're hopefully developing the current product over in North America into.
Because Hunter's original plan, and this was, what, 5 to 7 years ago, was we're going to have NXT UK, and we're going to have NXT India and NXT Australia. Like, we're globalizing the marketplace with all the NXT developmental brands to funnel them into the U.S. and North America. That was the plan. Pandemic and things have kind of shifted that, but now that he's at the helm again, we might be seeing that more.
Yeah, and you know, with it being more of a Europe than a UK thing, they can maybe, instead of having like a whole bunch of small ones, maybe do like fewer larger ones that kind of bring talent from a far reach into kind of a more small place, so they can kind of, instead of having like to manage, you know, say 10 different companies, maybe they're doing 5.
Yeah. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Changing from NXT UK to NXT Europe, it just sounds like, you know, it's the same but different, really. UK is part of Europe. Why don't we just call it Europe?
Well, really. Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because they're going to do a whole new setup. As we were talking about, they released a bunch of talent, and it's kind of rebranding whatever it is. And we were talking about how maybe this will allow them to move further across Europe instead of just staying in one location, which is what it's been for the 2.5 years.
Well, yeah, no, it expands the product, and by that, very, very likely expanding the fan base. How far are they going to be able to travel now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like Europe is a very, very big bunch of countries. It's not just the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom, you've got what, England and Scotland and Ireland, not Northern Ireland, but Ireland. What else?
You have
is
a whole
part of the UK.
I don't know off the top of my head, but you have a whole right? bunch. Yeah. Now you're able to expand upon that.
Now NXT Europe. You know, all of a sudden you've got Italy, you've got Czechia, you've got Slovakia, right? Because back in old days, that was part like Eastern Europe, which was a block, you know, were a bunch of Soviet bloc countries. But they're still, even though they're, you know, Slavic, they're still technically Europe. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're reaching not just France, Spain, Germany, England, Scotland, Ireland, but into all of those countries. And when was the last time you heard of WWE going overseas for shows, which they have done, but hitting a country like Czechia?
Don't think they ever
which is the former Czech Republic, by the way. They just call it Czechia now.
If they have, it's been forever.
I don't ever recall them going into those countries. Now they can.
Mm-hmm. So,
not that they couldn't before, but this just makes it easier for them to do so
with a localized talent pool to begin with. So, what if they take whatever they're doing with NXT Europe and maybe expanding upon it in other places? What if, and this goes into your backyard, what if we get NXT Canada? How would that affect things up in your area?
Wrestling is still the indie feel, the territories is still very, very big up here. I mean, in Alberta alone, if you don't include the promotion that I ran for a while, because it's not currently running, but we've got like 4 or 5 just in Alberta alone. And that doesn't include all of the other shows that come in. Like once a month or once every 2 months, like, what is that one out of Winnipeg? CWE or something like that. I can't remember. But let's see. Let me see if I can figure it out. Let's see. There's a promotion in Lethbridge. There are 2 in Calgary. There's 2 out of Edmonton. So that's like 5, just like right there. I think there's a 6th one just in Alberta. Population of 4 million people for the entire province, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we've got 6 fucking independent wrestling promotions. My thinking is, why call it NXT Canada? why not just take current NXT and rebrand it NXT North America?
Which they could. I'm just saying, it, what if they did? It's just a what-if scenario. What if they decide, hey, we're going to build a performance center up in, you know, we'll go to your area. What if they build it up near you? We have a performance center up in Calgary, and here's our plan.
See, here's the Eastern American corporate thinking. They wouldn't think about coming out here. They'd think, oh, Toronto, Ontario, Toronto. You know, a city of the super city is like 5 million people. Just Toronto and the greater Toronto area.
But what if they did, Tim?
I think that the performance center would service Eastern Canada. Ontario calls itself Central Canada, but bullshit, it's Eastern Canada. It would greatly help out Eastern born and bred and raised and trained talent. Ontario, they've got several indie promotions there that would be excellent feeders into NXT Canada. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain about NXT, around the concept of NXT Canada. Anyway, Ontario and Quebec would benefit greatly. And then all of our local talent in Alberta with like our five or six promotions just in this one province would wind up losing a lot of this talent. Like we don't already, we do, but we'd wind up losing a shit ton of our current talent to Eastern Canada. And personally speaking, I don't want to see that happen. This is going to sound like a bit of bias, in case you can either back me up or agree with me saying this is going to sound like I'm being biased. But some of the best wrestling I have ever seen independent is with wrestlers that were trained in Alberta. And we've got two training schools in Calgary. There's one in Edmonton. There are two now in Edmonton. And there's a third training school. I forgot about Johnny Devine's wrestling school.
I was just about to mention it.
Yeah, so there are three schools in Calgary and two in Edmonton.
There's also one in Lethbridge.
Yeah, we've got six training schools along with six separate promotions. What is the promotion out of Winnipeg, Keish?
There's actually a couple coming out of Winnipeg now.
The one that comes out here every month that Shark is involved with.
That's CWE, Canadian Wrestling Elite. They travel all over Canada, though.
I was right, CWE. But that's Hotshot Duggan's promotion.
Correct.
Hotshot Danny Duggan. Danny Duggan, of course, trained by Johnny Devine, and stole his nickname.
I heard it was bestowed upon him.
It was bestowed upon him. There's an inside joke there that might be too inside even for you.
It is.
Yeah, but there at one point in time, after the bestowal, if you will, there was a little bit of heat between the two of them, but that got buried a long time ago. And it's a bit of an inside thing. You got to hang out with Devine and Duggan when they get together to catch that one. But I think you may have missed it, but Rock asked me about what I would think about a proposed NXT Canada. And I told him just rebrand current NXT, make it NXT North America. It'll open things up a little bit more for the Canadian guys, but it'll also include Mexico. I haven't had the chance to bring that country in yet. So I don't really think we need NXT Canada, to make a short story long.
I mean, between the three countries that kind of encompass North America, we have a lot more issues with crossing the border into the United States NXT Europe would. They tend to not have the same issues that we tend to. Could you rebrand it as NXT quote unquote North America? Is it technically an NXT North America already? Kind of. Because you had wrestlers that have been from Canada and Mexico in NXT, like Kyle O'Reilly and the guys from Legado de Fantasma and stuff like that. So it's technically already an NXT North America. do they
except for one major thing. How many times has NXT toured Canada?
Well, yeah, but how much has NXT toured Europe? So, like, even if
I brought that point up.
So, like, if they, that's just something that we're going to have to wait and see. If they call it NXT Europe, but they just stay in the UK, then can they call it NXT? Then you're kind of looking at the same thing. Well, you call it NXT Europe, but you stay in the UK. What's up with that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're opening a performance center on an island. What do you expect? So, I mean, yeah, you can theoretically call it NXT North America and bring in talent from all over North America. And you could still imply that it is a North American brand. Whether they travel North America is a different thing. You could ask yourself the same thing about WWE and how often they come to Canada and Mexico. So,
well, the WWE until the pandemic thing hit, they were in Canada on a regular. Unfortunately, it was Eastern Canada.
Well, yeah. And, you know, they would come here every once in a while. But even in the last few years, when you look at them coming to like Calgary and Edmonton, it was always on a house show tour or house show loop. We haven't had a Raw or a SmackDown in Calgary and Edmonton in a very long time.
It was 2012, the last time they were here.
Yeah. And now they're coming.
And I was at that Raw.
Yeah, they're coming to Edmonton soon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that'll be the first thing, but nothing for Calgary, which is very strange.
I think they're avoiding the Saddle Dome because it's not environmentally friendly.
I mean, maybe.
Doesn't have solar panels on the saddle.
How do you know? Have you been up there?
It doesn't have solar panels up there. Have you been up there?
Well, no, of course they don't. It takes away from the half pipe. You can't skateboard on solar panels, Tim.
This is true.
So there's the.
There are people wondering, what the fuck are you talking about? Half pipe Saddle Dome. What?
Just going to move on. So that's the expansion of NXT. They're going to become NXT Europe in 2023. See what comes of it. 1 year ago yesterday, the savior of professional wrestling returned to AEW.
Meh.
CM Punk.
Meh.
Have you enjoyed CM Punk's return to pro wrestling, Tim?
You know, him coming back, it was an absolute huge pop because, oh my God, CM Punk's coming back. Has he really done a lot of overly impactful things? I would venture a no to that. I mean, it's a guy who used to bitch about people like John Cena being in the establishment and all this other stuff and taking shots at Triple H and all this other stuff and bitching about the veterans and everything. Well, he is now in that category. It's like, what happens when the legend killer now becomes the one of those legends that he used to kill?
Okay. What about you, Casey? Have you enjoyed his run so far?
I mean, I've enjoyed parts of it. I mean, when I heard he was coming back, I was kind of lukewarm about it as it was. It was kind of one of those like, it's hard to get concrete evidence one way or another unless you're there experiencing it. But it's like, well, is he coming back because he really wants to wrestle? Is he coming back because he's getting like a very sizable payday from Tony Khan? Is he coming back because he's still bitter at the WWE and wants to stick it to the WWE? It's hard to say. It could be a combination of all those things. It could be one thing over the other. As far as an on-screen character is concerned, up until maybe Wednesday night, he has been, you know, he has tried to stick to the idea that he's back for because the fans, he's back because he wants to do for the young wrestlers what he wanted veterans to do for young wrestlers. Whether he's done that or not is
up for debate is a good way to put it.
Yes, up for debate. That's the term I was looking for.
Questionable.
Up for debate. I mean,
it depends who you ask.
He's had good matches with some of the younger talent, but then you look at, well, but he still won, so does that do anything? Maybe. Maybe not. Like I say, it's hard to say one way or another unless you can read his mind or be a fly on the wall for any closed door meetings that he's been having with whomever's running the ship or coordinating all that. So, I mean, from a TV perspective, I mean, the crowd pops when he shows up. So I guess it's success. I guess it is successful.
But from what you've been hearing lately, it may not be.
If you ask Colt Cabana.
yeah. I mean, that was one thing that definitely like ran through my mind when I heard he was coming to AEW. I'm like, what's that going to do for Colt Cabana? And I feel
bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. I feel super bad for Colt Cabana because like AEW is something like him being on a major promotion is something that he's probably deserved for a very long time. He is the like quintessential pro wrestling king of do it yourself. And then all of a sudden a guy who quit wrestling with a bad taste in his mouth comes back after 7 years. And suddenly the thing that he's kind of involved with, whether it had to do with CM Punk or not, all of a sudden they don't have anything for him and members of the Dark Order. And then there's all the rumors about maybe his contract wasn't going to be renewed until a whole bunch of people in the back made a big stink about it. And now, whether it's true or not, he's never confirmed one way or another. He's now been delegated to ROH, which has been running so many shows lately. So who knows?
So many shows. So active. But that's the thing. He left Ring of Honor to go to AEW. Only be reassigned to Ring of Honor.
Yeah. I don't know.
Going around in circles.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's the whole CM Punk situation for me the entire time has been kind of murky waters. I don't remember exactly when or what was said to cause CM Punk to get hot at Adam Page.
Yeah, I don't remember what Page said. I really don't.
If it happened during their feud for the title, it seems like kind of a long time for him to hold on to that, to just come back immediately. When did that match happen?
May.
May? So what? June, July? It's been like 3 months, and then he comes back and he says stuff about it. Why wouldn't he have said stuff about it like immediately after?
Because he got injured and he was off TV for 2 months. So.
But I mean, at the same time, like he could have come out the day after the Dynamite after he won the championship and said something.
Yeah.
Like, so it makes me think, is there more to it than that it took him 3 months to come out on TV and air his grievances, kind of, sort of?
It's an odd situation.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they're doing the title match this week.
Well, I mean, that probably has something to do with stuff happening in the back, too, that we'll never know about.
That you know, because if it's a shoot in AEW, they'll just turn it into a work, is what they, you know, what the rumors go around as. Oh, everything's fine. Yeah. It's a work. Everything's a work. And MJF is just so happened to be coming back now.
Well,
we'll see that actually happens if it happens.
Yeah.
But that's being talked about. So say MJF, we'll just spitball it. Say MJF come back this week, right? We're 10 days out from a pay-per-view and they put him in the title match. Kind of, how would you feel about that?
I guess it would depend on what he says when he comes back. He's got the ability to, if he wants to, MJF can come back 10 days before a pay-per-view and build a pay-per-view match.
Oh, I don't think he couldn't build it. I think he can. But from where he left, telling the company to fuck off to put him in a title match.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
not good optics.
That's like, that'll still, I mean, does that look good from a company standpoint? No. Because then it's like, oh, so all I have to do to get a title shot is tell Tony Khan to fire me on national television and drop some F-bombs? Sweet. Let's all do that. Obviously, that's clearly not the case.
No.
But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things of like, is he going to come out and be like, he could just be like, I played you so good. I leveraged you by going to the other company, saying this, that, and the other thing, and look what I got. And then he can act like he's smarter than Tony Khan. It's a very MJF thing to do, character perspective. He could make it work, but I mean, I don't think it's going to look good if they give him a title match right away. Mm-hmm. It's going to look even worse if they give him the title.
Yeah.
Make him work for the match.
Yep. I mean, they could do that too. It's just a matter of, I don't know. I mean, he's still technically the holder of the ring.
Yeah.
I can't remember the full title of the ring.
The diamond?
Yeah, exactly. He's got that pinky ring of doom.
Pinky ring of doom, yeah.
The pinky ring of doom that, you know, may or may not have some sort of clout.
They could say that gave him the title match. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember what the ring is called. The something Dynamite Diamond or something?
Yeah. MJF ring.
See, if Brent was here, he would know it off the top of his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dynamite Diamond ring.
It is the Dynamite Diamond ring. Yeah. Well, there you go. Three-time Dynamite Diamond ring champion. Winner.
Such a great name for a thing. All right, you have anything bringing that Kenny Omega's back to do the trios thing?
I mean, that was kind of a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, no matter how many little teases of Adam Page they did, I mean, it was nice that they tried, but I think most people knew that Kenny Omega was coming back for that.
Do they need trios tag titles, though?
Do they need them? No, but does it give the, like, 5 to 10 groups that they have in AEW something else to do? Yes, they could utilize it because they're very much like they're definitely a faction company, much like New Japan, and New Japan has trios titles. So they could use them properly as opposed to, you know, introducing trios titles and not having a very deep trios division. And then they start just like mishmashing people together and being like, we're going to challenge for the trios titles, and they all lose. At least this way they have. We have a whole bunch of already established groups that can challenge for the trios titles and lose.
Because Kenny and the Bucks are getting them, right?
Oh, I would be surprised if they didn't.
It was like 8 months ago. Tony Khan on the presser call was like, "Yeah, wait until Kenny comes back to bring up this other set of belts," which we all knew was the trios belts.
Yeah. So and yeah, maybe those ones will circulate more. Who knows? But not holding my breath.
I mean, because that All Atlantic title we see on TV all the time.
Who's got the TNT title right now?
Wardlow?
Right. He's doing things.
He's feuding with Jay Lethal.
Yes. And
that's
the big guy.
The incredibly boring Jay Lethal.
They're doing, and he's not even defending the belt on pay-per-view. It's a six-man.
Well, there you go.
It's FTR and Wardlow versus Jay Lethal.
Sanjay.
And who said in an interview a month and a half ago he's never wrestling again and is now wrestling again. I think he said it, and then a week later he was wrestling.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, that's quality stuff right there. Anything else you want to add, Tim, to the punk topic?
No.
Okay, let's dive a little bit, finish up the couple rounds we have, of the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
All right, so chat, one vote poll. You should be able to do things here in a second. You can vote in the poll. You guys are playing the part of Brent.
You mean he didn't send in his picks?
He did not.
He's not Keishi.
Apparently.
So chat, you vote in the poll. Dusty Rhodes, Ultimate Warrior, Keishi.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. I'm just agreeing with you.
That's tough. Man, Dusty Rhodes cut some awesome baby. He got polka dots over. Do we think Warrior could have got polka dots over?
I mean,
I hate to admit it, but yeah.
Wow. I mean, he could have. I think Warrior would have gotten over in polka dots. But yeah. Baby face. I think I'm going to pick the Ultimate Warrior, but only on the grounds of if I walk down the street and I ask 10 people if they knew who Dusty Rhodes was, and I asked 10 random people who the Ultimate Warrior was, more people would know who the Ultimate Warrior was than who Dusty Rhodes was. That's not saying...
I have to throw a caveat again at you. It depends on what part of the Mason-Dixon line you're standing.
Oh, I'm talking about, like, downtown Calgary.
Downtown Cowabunga.
Yeah, so... I think the ultimate warrior is more of a worldwide known baby face over Dusty Rhodes. That's not saying that Dusty Rhodes didn't do amazing things. If you put those two against each other in probably like promos, Dusty would probably wipe the floor with them. But
if you will,
Yes.
Although you get some really amazing far out. Is that guy on acid promos again from Warrior?
Yeah. But yeah, Warrior is definitely the bigger household name. So I'm going to pick Warrior. Yeah.
Ed and I used to wonder if the guy dropped acid before he did his promos.
Well, that and or cocaine.
Yeah. Seemed more like acid tripping than a cocaine buzz.
Tim, what's your vote?
My caveat that I threw at Casey, which eventually led him to bring up the point, the global phenomenon versus the regional phenomenon. Dusty was absolutely massive in all of the Southern American promotions and territories and such, but he wasn't the lightning in a bottle that Warrior was. And it ranks right up there with one of the biggest matches of all time when he beat Hogan for the title. Everybody knew Warrior. Everybody. And it was just an absolutely phenomenal go-round that he had that led to that title win over Hogan, that got mainstream involved. Wrestling was just verging on mainstream. When did that happen? 92, 91?
Something like that.
Something like that. For some reason, my brain keeps telling me 1992, but I think it was 91.
Chat says, chat says 91, so.
Okay. Well, if chat is being substitute intern tonight, then we'll go with that until we get a different verification. But yeah, no, I don't know how much of that you guys remember, but people that I knew back then that couldn't give two shits about professional wrestling because it was that really goofy shit that kids watched. We're talking about Warrior. If I could equate it, if you take that singular moment in time, which was not very long at all, and wanted to do the same thing but stretch it out and make it a little different, it would be like Goldberg going undefeated forever in WCW. It just took a lot longer, and it was more stretched out with Goldberg. If you took that entire thing and condensed it into Warrior's initial run, that's what you got. And, yeah, I got to pick Warrior.
Okay.
Warhammer.
Cody Rhodes, Edge. Tim? By the way, chat voted Warrior, so it was 3-0. Continue.
Chat made it unanimous, yeah. Did he? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no, I wasn't comparing Warrior to Goldberg, chat. Like, that's not what that was. I think some people understood what I was saying. Casey, you understood what I said?
Kind of.
Sort of?
More than a Warrior promo.
Yeah, but how much more?
Not by much. Not
I'll
by
never
much.
Tell.
There you go. Anyway, yeah, getting to it. Cody Rhodes and Edge. This one is another tough one. Has Cody Rhodes been a babyface long enough to go against Edge? What's Edge's best run is not as a babyface overall for his entire career. His current run as a babyface has just got me champing at the bit, just waiting for him to take on his old stable, the Judgment Day. But Edge is one of those guys you're going to cheer for him whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. And his heel run was comic heel. There was nothing deadly serious about it. I think as far as his heel turns go, I think his best run as a heel was right after he, for all intents and purposes, snatched Lita away from Matt Hardy. And that whole heel run that he had with Matt, that was great. But when he was, when he's running as a babyface, it's big, it's huge, it's ginormous. Cody will get there. He's in the middle of getting there. And when he returns from his surgery, he's going to get almost as big a pop as Edge got during his surprise return at the Royal Rumble. So for me, as far as I'm concerned, Cody's on the cusp, but because the longevity isn't there by, like, in Canadian measurements, by centimeters. By the way, Americans, 2.56 centimeters equals 1 inch, just so you know. Just to give you perspective. Cody misses out. Cody loses this one by centimeters to Edge. I'm picking Edge.
Kiki?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Edge over just experienced baby faceness. Like Tim said, like most people will probably say, you know, Cody is on his way. And if we revisit this in like, say, 2-3 years, it'll be a lot more debatable because Cody will have that really good established super babyface run that is definitely coming. But he hasn't gotten that Royal Rumble pop that Edge got. So Edge for sure.
And chat makes it unanimous. So that we're only going to do those couple next week, tonight, because I'm going to wait for Brent to move to round three. But round two is officially finished. But here are some matches you can look forward to. And the next one is Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin.
Ouch!
New Day and Justin Liger.
Oh.
Rey Mysterio and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oy vey.
Cena and Styles.
Oh, shit.
Dreamer and Bryan. Road Warriors and Hulk Hogan.
Ooh.
Becky Lynch and DDP. And Warrior and Edge. Those are round three matches.
Oh boy.
Christ. Okay, there are let's see, the last one, I am not looking forward to trying to figure that one out.
I'm going to put that on a post-it note at work so I can stare at it all day and think about it.
The first one that you mentioned is not it's not going to be fun picking a winner. It's going to be a great back and forth and humming and hawing and oh my god, look at what these guys did. And, oh shit.
In terms of babyface, Bryan and Dreamer is probably going to be a tough one. That's
another tricky one.
Because they're both babyfaces. True, honest babyfaces.
Yeah.
Although, Bryan did have a good run as a heel.
He did, but, you know.
As short as it was.
Short as it was.
Well, we should quantify that, because he had, like, in WWE, he had two short-term heel runs.
But you have a lot of stuff to think about when we get there in round three.
Ma'am, and there's going to be a lot of, ask me later, followed up by no.
No. You've been told now you have time. Next week is a preview.
Next week is previewing Clash at the Castle, which means we'll be playing Pick'em.
Ooh, Pick'em.
That's right, but that's a whole week away.
So that's next week.
Yeah. And, of course, next week kicks off tomorrow night, immediately following Raw with the post-show.
It is indeed the Raw post-show, 11 p.m. Eastern, back live.
Hey, who's going to show up tomorrow night, Rock?
I don't know if anyone else is going to show up tomorrow.
Okay, who might show up tomorrow?
I don't know. People. You never know. Tune in. Find out. We'll recap it.
One thing's
sure. Wait. No, I know who's going to be there tomorrow.
Oh, who?
Trish Stratus.
There you go. Tomorrow night, Raw emanates from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, also known across the rest of this great country as the center of the universe.
Okay.
That's another Canadian joke. Anyway. Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern. It's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock Radio Show with multi-time, multi-award-winning host, Lindsay Ward. And, Rock, I heard a rumor that you join her.
Yeah, we're going to talk news, notes from WWE, AEW, and beyond. We'll have Tweet of the Week. I think we're doing a sports-type tier list this week for the NFL. I think that's the plan. It's Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out The Rock Extra Views. There's just one problem. The new Brian Gerwart's book that is available right now. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Madden NFL 23. That's available right now at RackRadioShow.com.
Wow. Hey, did you know that you could use the credit code ROCKINSOCK when you're doing the Fortnite thing?
You know, if you can do it in the Fortnite item shop or in the Epic Game Store, where apparently you can buy Madden 23 for the PC, so you can use it there. There's all new Dragon Ball Z skins in Fortnite, so use the code there because we're a hashtag epic partner, because boy howdy, do love me some Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, if you say so. But never mind that. Why don't you check out Saturdays, midnight-ish Eastern, 10 o'clock-ish Mountain, as close as I can get to it, for another edition of, oh my God, those guys injected steroids into their brains, CB Radio.
Okay. CB Radio Saturday Nights, Midnight-ish, GreatTheGreatDebate.com is where you vote. CBRadioLive.com is the website. Before that's Fortnite with Friends around 10, 10:30. We didn't do it last night, but we're back at it this week because Brent's going to be back and joining us.
He was like, what was that? Okay, like you were expecting me to say more, or?
Okay, whatever.
Okay, he said they inject steroids into their brains. Whatever. Have you even heard the show?
Figure it out.
And of course, the week culminates in us returning for previewing and pick-coming Clash at Castle.
Yes.
Yeah, hang on just a really quick sec here.
While he's doing things, you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunlight on the Facebook and the Twitter machine.
I was going to do that, but shit, if you're on the Twitter machines, follow me at Flames Forums. If you're a hockey fan, wow, there has been a hell of a lot to talk about this summer for a certain couple of hockey teams. And if you follow hockey at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I have been dropping bombs like crazy on the Twitter. So if you're into hockey, follow me. Don't worry. I also tweet about wrestling. I also tweet about, hey, look, I made this. I'll throw up pictures of some projects that I get hired to do, which is a lot of fun. I'll tell you dad jokes. Like I fill my Twitter up with a whole ton of shit. It's never about just one or two or three things, one or two or three times a week. It's like one or two or three things three times an hour. Not literally, but yeah, follow me if you're not following me at Flames Forums. Keishi, you should do that too.
I do follow you at Flames Forums.
No, I mean, post a lot more shit.
I have been posting. Well, okay, hold on. Let's not get ourselves. I've been retweeting a whole bunch of stuff.
There you go. Well, it's a start. It's a start. But let people know where they can see your retweets that they've seen from other people.
Yeah, you can see me retweeting about Canadian independent wrestling at Kyle Driver on Twitter. I also sometimes make tweets, usually close to and or around times that I wrestle, which is happening now. So I do things like that, talking about, you know, taking naps in a ring thanks to being choked out by an MMA fighter, or not wrecking my knee while I wrestled again. Super fun, entertaining, interesting stuff like that. I know. So cool. The retweets are way better. Go check out Canadian Independent Wrestling wherever I retweet it.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You should like join Redbubble and sell merchandise.
Oh, yes. See, I'm really bad at that. I do have merch. It's sold on a website called Redbubble. It's mostly t-shirts, but there are a couple designs on there. If you feel like taking a peruse and giving me some support, I would appreciate it. If you just want to peruse and say, hey, those are fancy, you could do that too. I'm good with anything because I'm very laid back, which is problematic for someone who's supposed to hustle.
Here's how you do it. Hey, looking for great back-to-school merch for your kids? Go to Redbubble and search Kyle Driver. He has all bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Actually, maybe I'll release some string bags. I hear those are hip and or happening.
If you say so. But one thing is guaranteed. We can really work with you because, let's face it, Rock and I, when we want to be, can be the kings of the shameless shill.
This is where I say, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
WildTalkRadio.com.